806 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you here on this Monday. Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig. We'll check in with staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams in just a little bit. It's exciting to bring this man back on the show. Last time we talked to this man, they were somewhere, he and his teammates were somewhere halfway across the Atlantic, rowing their way towards Antigua, and they have arrived, and it's great to have a Marine veteran, Evan Stratton, and Team Fight or Die member back on the show with us. Evan, thanks for your time.
Yeah, glad to be back. It's definitely calling from a different location this time.
Yeah, so if people didn't hear that last interview, y'all were using the satellite phone and checking in, and you'd been out there for quite a while at that point and had a whole bunch in front of you.
Yeah, absolutely. The days kind of blend together. And for the first 40 days or so, it just seems like it's never going to end. But we're about in the middle of the Atlantic, I think, and we're trying to close down the 1,000-mile mark and get into the hundreds.
Wow. Let's talk about how many days total was the row?
So we rowed for 50 days, 11 hours, and 35 minutes, setting the new world record for our boat class.
Wow, man. Okay, so your boat class is, tell folks, too, who have not heard us talk before, you're rowing the name of the boat is the Wubby, right?
Yeah, the name of our boat's the Wubby. The boat class is Spindrift class. So there's different boat classes. All the boats are, there's different builders, and there's kind of different types of designs. So we would row what would be considered kind of an older model or an older style of boat. So most everyone else was kind of rowing a Ferrari, and we weren't rowing the Ferrari, just maybe grandma's old Astro van.
It obviously, though, it serves you what, 28 feet, but 28 feet, yep. That four of y'all live in that for 50 days.
Yep, day in and day out, all the creature comforts. It may not have been the fastest boat, but it's incredibly reliable. It provided all the shelter, all the needs we, had to get across the ocean. So 28 feet, there's a aft cabin, a bow cabin, so one person's rowing and one person's sleeping in the aft, and one person's rowing and one person's sleeping in the bow. And you just rotate.
That's unbelievable. How many miles are we talking about here, Evan?
We're talking 3,000 nautical miles. So when you convert those to land miles, I think, it's about 1.5. So you're looking around 4,000-ish miles on land.
Wow. Let's talk about, of course, a four-veteran team, four men in the boat. Let's talk about your fellow teammates.
Yeah, so we had Carl Christensen, who's a Navy submarine officer. He was our skipper, so he kind of led the boat as far as navigation and making some of those, tough decisions. We had Luke Holton, who is a Army sergeant, EOD and intel. And then we had John Fannin, who's a Marine Lance Corporal infantryman from Texas.
Oh. Yeah, so you had
represented, right?
All of y'all are veteran.
Yep, all U.S. military veterans. That's what Fight or Die is about. So last year was the inaugural initial team, all Army guys, but all U.S. military veterans. And that's how we'll always do it. So Fight or Die will always represent the U.S. military veteran population.
It's such a fantastic idea because it brings attention because, the novelty. You're in a very rarefied air. Well, first of all, as veterans you are, and then on top of that, to be in the class of people that have rowed across the Atlantic, which is amazing. And I guess that the uniqueness of it helps y'all bring attention to what you're doing and why you're doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's more people have been in space and climbed Mount Everest than have ever rowed across an ocean. So it's a small group of people that do this, but it's a large undertaking. And like you're saying, military veterans are especially attuned to being able to take on such a challenge. We're all aware of veteran issues. Everyone, suicide among veterans, PTSD, TBIs, those aren't a secret, out in society. But what is happening is, there's not much motivation to spark change and spark making a difference in those veterans' lives. And what we found is through demonstrating the ability to row an ocean, that sets an example for other veterans to say, hey, get out there and do something tough. Get out of the living room, get out of that dark place, do whatever you need to do to get out there and start growing your own personal ocean so you can get through that and then come with us and come actually row the ocean, or you can actually go climb Everest, or you can do whatever you want to do, but we're just trying to spark that interest and motivation back into veterans' lives.
Yeah, Evan, hearing you say that, you said it before, Is it, I know you can't speak for every veteran, but among the community of veterans, the people you know, you said go out and do something tough, do something a challenge. It seems like that is the way y'all from whatever branch are wired, and you need some of that in your life, if not a lot of it.
Absolutely. You know, when I was telling one of my own platoon sergeants, he was out, he was texting with me, and he was asking about the row and whatnot, and he said, you know, Evan, I was like, I don't know why I'm going to go do this. I don't know what's wrong with me. And he says, yeah, guys like you and I were just meant to suffer. And, you know, he said that in a joking manner, but what it was really behind it is that guys like us and guys like military veterans did something big with their lives, mm-hmm. whether it was for 4 years or whether it was for 20, that was incredibly important what we did. And when you leave the military, you lose that. But there's a lot of life left to live. So, you know, get out there and do something crazy. And as for veterans, how do you top joining the military? How do you top deploying? Well, finding a passion, whatever it may be, and pursuing it fully is what we're going for. So maybe it doesn't have to be an ocean, but it really is. You know, that seems to be the kind of things that veterans are gravitating towards too. And it's a big example. And that's what we wanted to do, to say, hey, we need something big. So whatever it is, maybe it's not ocean rowing, but get out there and do something big.
Yeah, well, you've got this something big in this. And y'all bringing attention to these veterans' issues, but at the same time, Evan, y'all were guinea pig status.
Yeah, you know, we're figuring this thing out. 2018 team or trailblazers. You know, no U.S. veteran team had ever rowed an ocean before the guys last year. And they scraped and worked and grinded to make it happen, and here we are in 2019. We're kind of figuring that out as well. But when you mentioned guinea pigs, that's also to do with working with our strategic partners, Denver University. They're one of the only universities that have a doctoral program of psychology, where doctoral students can become psychologists in military psychology. So they're trained to work directly with veterans and active duty service members. And we participate with them in research. So we do research studies with them before, during, and after the row. We've done interviews. We've done countless amounts of paperwork with them to hopefully help gain some insights and knowledge of how to better serve our veteran and service member populations with mental health.
Wow, such a great cause that you guys signed up for and completed over the weekend. And on our Facebook page, we did share the video of your arrival, and I encourage people to go check that out and also like the page Fight or Die. I know you guys are close to 8,000 likes on that page, so that'd be a huge milestone. I want to know, over 50 days, I'm sure you've got some really tough days sprinkled in, if not a majority of those days. How do you keep spirits high on the Whoopee? Was there singing, or what was the method there?
Yeah, man, there's all sorts of... You're absolutely right. I'm going to just touch a quick on that, answer the question. This is hands down the toughest thing I've ever done in my life. You're faced with multiple brick walls where you get these mental blocks of like, how am I going to do this? How, like, we're 2,000 miles away, we're 1,000 miles away, whatever it is. You've been out there for over a month, and, you know, you get mentally worn down, and it just seems like it's never going to end. But where can you go? You just have to keep rowing. So you definitely go through these highs and these lows, these low lows. But, you know, some of the things that help distract and break from it, we brought like a speaker. So we play music, we play podcasts. There was times where you just come up with games. So we just started coming up with like a trivia game where we're asking each other trivia questions. You're trying to get points. And, you know, that just like makes the shifts fly by, is when you're kind of engaging with each other and talking through things. But then there's those nights where you get on shift and you don't say a word to anybody for 2 hours. You just sit there and you look at the stars and you just see like how beautiful this earth is. You see sunrises that are 180 degrees in view. There's no land in sight. So you see the most incredible sunrises, the most epic sunsets. It's, you know, really indescribable, those moments. And I think, honestly, I'm still trying to process them of, yeah, wow, like we just did that.
Hey, talking about the sights out there, the sunrises, sunsets, I can only picture what you're describing. What the wildest thing you saw out there? I know talking to the team last year was different encounters with marine life out there or big freighter ships. What stands out to you, Evan?
Oh, man, the first time we saw anything, I'd say we're a couple weeks in, and we're sitting there, and I'm on shift, and I'm rowing, and out of nowhere, a pod of 50-plus dolphins come cruising up out of the water. They're jumping around, they're swimming around, and they're all around the boat. I mean, you could reach out and touch one, you'd think, and they're just swimming and swarming the boat for like 30 minutes. And I've never seen something like that. It was incredible. But we saw we saw sei whales. We saw fright ships that would call in and be like, hey, you guys all right? Yep, we're good. We're on to Antigua. Don't worry.
We're supposed to be here.
yeah. Don't worry about it. It's okay. Yeah, I know it looks, doesn't look right, but it's okay. The sunrise is the deepest, like the deepest purples and pinks and oranges and reds. And, you know, when you see a sunrise on land, something gets in the way, a building or a hill or something like that. But this is like you go as far looking to your left and as far looking to your right, and it's the sunset. And it seems like you're in the front row seat to like God's painting, where that's just like being done especially for you. And it's pretty incredible.
You know, you mentioned shifts. Tell folks who hadn't heard before when we talked how y'all's day went. What was your normal work day, Evan, on the Whoopee?
Yeah, well, the work is 24/7. So that boat, we coined a term this year. It's if you ain't rowing, you ain't going. So that boat doesn't move unless the oars are being pulled in the water, and wind and waves and, you know, currents help you get that, you know, going a little bit faster. But you have to row. So the way you do that is on a four-man team is you have two rowing stations, one in the front, one in the back of the boat, and you take turns with two rowers on, rowing for 2 hours, and then you switch with someone for a two-hour rest period. And you do that for two-hour shifts, 24 hours a day. So over the course of a day, you row for 12 hours.
You mean?
And then you rest for 12 hours.
But the longest you ever slept was 2 hours?
Yeah, you know, an hour and 30 minutes, you got to get off shift, you got to get a bite to eat, you got to do something on the boat, you got, you know, right, there's something to clean or there's something to do, so that cuts into your time, and
Holy cow.
Longest amount of shift you'd ever get is 2 hours of rest.
Okay, so I got to imagine, you get into Antigua, and I don't know if you did it there when you came back stateside, but your first full night of sleep, that must have been delightful.
It was tough. I woke up a bunch.
Really?
You know, I was thinking, I thought I was going to pass out and be good, but then my body's used to waking me up every 2 hours, so that was definitely a bit unexpected. But I'm kind of settled in, and I really racked out good last night. But yeah, the muscle soreness, and it's all setting in now.
I bet that first meal was glorious too. How much weight did you lose on this trip? And then what was the first meal for everyone when you got back to land?
I did pretty good weight wise. I lost about 15 pounds. I don't know everybody's weight loss, but I know John lost somewhere around 25 pounds, 22, 25 pounds. And I'm not sure about Carl or Luke's weight loss, but I think we averaged that around 20 pounds. And then they just brought us a hamburger, and I can't tell you how great it was. We cooked all of our dry food meals with cold water. You know, we didn't have an ability to heat up the water, so everything we ate for the last 2 months was cold. So it could have been a hamburger. It could have been a quesadilla. I didn't care. It was just hot food.
Man, what a treat that was. And let's talk about handing the torch off going forward. It's going to be time to assemble a new group of veterans to take the row next year, or this year, starting this year.
Yep, absolutely. So we've got teams slotted and lined up for 2020, for 2021. We're always looking for veterans. You know, we're trying to grow. So if you're a U.S. veteran out there, we don't have big stringent qualifications. You know, we're looking for the right guys to take on the challenge and be committed to it. There's no real barriers to it. We're going to keep sending U.S. military veterans across the ocean as long as veterans are taking their lives and struggling to reintegrate.
Well, I appreciate you bringing attention in such a big way to that very big issue, and we'll continue to just celebrate what y'all do, bring attention to it, and get ready to welcome the next team when they come here to Mobile to train at Buccaneer Yacht Club. So we'll welcome them in just like happened for
Great.
Your team, and hopefully we're doing this, to help bring attention, and it's just a cool story. Evan, I mean, I'm in awe of what y'all have done. I'm in awe of what y'all did as veterans before that point. Thank you from myself, my family, this country. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sean. And hey, huge shout out to the Scuttlebutt Network. You guys have been such stringent supporters of us. We really appreciate it. Thanks for getting the story out. Thanks to all of you listeners out there that have supported us by following along, financially supporting us. You know, it may be four of us that rode, but it's really an army of people back here on the stateside that makes it all happen for us. And we really appreciate every single one of you.
If somebody wants to donate, where's the best place to go?
Yeah, check us out at our website, US Vetrow, so that's USVETROW.org, or follow us on social media at Instagram or Facebook, Fight or Die, that's OAR. So Fight or Die, and you can follow the links and just following along the journey really matters.
Evan, great story, great event. What a lifetime achievement. Evan Stratton, thank you for your time.
All right, thanks, Sean. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Will do. And yeah, you'll hear more about this Scuttlebutt Radio Network with Tom and Cal, two Marine veterans. They'll talk more about this. I'm coming up on Wednesday evening. It's 8:21. We're coming right back. FM Talk 106.5. You'll be able to catch the podcast of that interview with Evan Stratton from the team Fight or Die. We'll get that up probably in the next hour or so. Just part of the tons of podcasted audio available through fmtalk1065.com. If you want to click the link for podcast, or you subscribe at iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn Radio or Deezer. Or through Spotify, it'll be in your feed there as well. Always in awe of what those teams have done now. 2 years, and they train right here. Even though the vets come from all over the country and from all different branches, they train at the Buccaneer Yacht Club here in Mobile. So cool stuff. All right, we talked about legislative session getting ready to open up in Montgomery tomorrow. Big, it's the Super Bowl of Politics Week. Right, you've got, of course, you've got the proceedings that may last through Wednesday or the end of the week in the Senate. At the same time, you have State of the Union address for President Trump tomorrow night. You have State of the State with Governor Ivey before that, and she's got her arm in a sling. That's a whole other story. And also, legislative session opening up tomorrow in Montgomery. And we're joined by Dr. Lou Campomenosi to talk more about an event coming up as well associated with the opening of session. Hey, Dr. Lou.
Good morning, there, Sean. How are you doing?
Good, good. So, what do y'all have going? What's happening?
Well, let me just say that your interview was absolutely incredible, and it just makes you thankful that people are able to do what those folks have done in the more general argument about making sure that this country has people like that defending it. It is just incredible. But at any rate, back to the more normal things that we have to deal with. Tomorrow is the opening of the session, and for the last 10 years, we've had what's called the Welcome Back Rally. It's an attempt by the grassroots movement to show up on the steps of the State House, 11 South Union Street in Montgomery, and let the legislators know what our agenda is concerning the upcoming session. And we usually focus on, you know, issues pertaining to things that we are very interested in, which happens to be what a lot of the people in Alabama are interested in. Okay, so stopping the gas tax, repealing Common Core, and now, I would argue, making sure that Amendment 1 is killed. And I would be very, very surprised if it passes, but we cannot take a chance about this. And I think that even though the polling is showing a degree of a high degree of opposition, you just never know. And especially when the people who want this have the money to support it with lots of ads. And really, there's a degree of deceit that's in the language, which we can talk about down the road. But for tomorrow's purposes, I think this is an educational opportunity for people to come to hear from Jim Ziegler, who is going to be our radio voice of opposition when we start running radio ads throughout the state saying no to Amendment 1. I've also got...
Lou, I want to stop you for a second, though, for people who haven't been following it. Amendment 1, this is this change on the Board of Education, right? How it's voting versus appointment, right? Give people the simple version of this.
Yeah, the simple version is that the swamp people want to control education like they want to control everything else. And what they've done is created an amendment that basically says, if it passes, then you will lose your right to vote for your state legislator. In this case, it's our district is Jackie Ziegler. And what they will do is have the governor appoint, and then the Senate will confirm these people. This is just a crony approach to education. And we can argue till the cows come home whether appointed boards do better than elected boards. And the data is, it really, you've got some, you know, appointed boards that do very well, and you've got some appointed boards that do horribly. So it doesn't matter, in my view. What matters is the fact that we are in a crisis of education brought about by what the politicians have done, starting with Governor Riley when he, you know, brought in Common Core. And I think that you know, looking at the descent of our education from 2010 until now, we're now, we are, what, 52nd out of 50 states, mm-hmm. with the other places involved, Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C. So you have an education crisis, and what's their solution? To make it worse, by taking away our right to vote for the people who, you know, should at least have the ability, based on their experience, to sit on the board. And this board, as many times as we have disagreed with the board, the people who are there have abilities. You've got former superintendents, you've got people like Jackie Ziegler, 30 years in education, you know, doing the kind of work with our kids down here that brought her about with, three times they got Blue Ribbon School nominations. So my point here is that if you're happy with the kinds of things we saw with Al Dodge Cooper and Ivy forcing a $6 tax on us through the toll business, if that's what you're interested in, or at least if that's what you want to stop, then you better think twice about this amendment, because if you lose your right to vote for your SBOE member, then what's going to happen is, it's just like with Cooper. He could care less. It's my way or the highway. These people who are appointed are going to be exactly in that mode of thinking. And I just think that it's a disaster, and it's an absolute sham for them to try to sell this as, you know, how we're going to improve Alabama education.
All right, Dr. Liu, I'm up against the bottom of the hour break. I appreciate your update there, and we'll check back with you soon. Thank you very much, Dr. Liu Campomenosi. And we'll be back after news.
836 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. And right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk to Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. So we're at the beginning of February. Mardi Gras is officially cranked up, and some big Mardi Gras news to coincide from McConnell Automotive.
That's right. We're back at it. Those beautiful Sierras will be driving down Government Street, pulling the floats again.
All right.
McConnell's back with Mardi Gras. Yeah, we've been working on that for about a month now, and got it all ironed out. And, you know, back in the day, I know Sean and I remember it. We used to have people lining up wanting to get those Mardi Gras trucks right after they quit pulling the floats. Well, this time, if you see one going down Dolphin Street, Government Street, whichever, and you say, hey, I want to buy that truck, come on by, check it out, and we'll sell it to you that day, and we'll throw another one in the parade. So we're going to have some great deals on them. We're going to have some great incentives coming out this month, too, from what I understand. And go online, check out the new all-electric Hummer, 1,000 horsepower. It's coming out to GMC sometime after the first of the year. So it's going to be a great year. The all-new Yukon's coming out. We got a lot of stuff going on at McConnell.
All kinds of great news coming from McConnell, and we appreciate it, Louis.
Thank you.
That's Louis Arata. You can go see him at McConnell Automotive. You'll find him on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
Right, 837 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Phone number, text line 343-0106. That Amendment 1 that Dr. Liu was talking about, we'll talk about it going as we get into session. It is a question that I completely hear what Dr. Liu's saying, but I've also heard people on the other side say, better outcomes come from appointed, but you know, the more things you hand off without being able to have a say-so in it, it's tough to ever take that beachhead back. And one of the issues is, and maybe the benefit of this push here and the advertising and the talk about it with Amendment 1 is more people will be engaged in State Board of Education, and realize that that's something they vote for, that's something they should study up on before they go in there. But what happens is people don't, people will go to the polls in a presidential cycle with maybe a couple names in their head, and then there'll be a lot of times constitutional amendments or different things on there. They'll be like, oh, I don't know, just fill in, mm-hmm. Yes or no. I think people, you get down about three places down in voting, people start going, well, I'm not sure. Now, this is what we do around here. We're in our 10th year, 10 years old, going towards 11 here. But since this station is launched, part of the mission is to make sure if you listen, you at least hear a full discussion of different things that'll come up that you'll have on a ballot. Not only do we do it and you hear it live, we podcast all of this. So, you know, we talk about all the hours we podcast. We're doing over 40 hours a week of live local programming from this studio right here, Mobile Shows, Baldwin County Shows, right here at FM Talk 106.5. But we podcast the stuff where we talk to different people, number one, about like Dr. Lou there and Amendment 1, different candidates that are running for office. We podcast all that, and you can go back through. You can either search it on your own, or we'll make it easy for you as we get closer to primary day to go on and find those interviews. So if you didn't catch it, you can kind of go back and binge and say, okay, let me listen to who's running for, you know, in AL1 or who's running for Senate. Let me hear more about this constitutional amendment, that constitutional amendment. All that stuff is available for you, so you can study before you go fill in the Scantron.
Yeah, it's always so difficult for the average voter to know every
other stuff you're doing, man.
Exactly. You know, life goes on. It's not all about what's going on politically for everyone 24/7. But some of the amendments that we've seen in the past with the wording being so confusing. And
they're supposed to have fixed that, right? And
right.
I still think it's fairly confusing.
Yeah. And they have to be doing that intentionally sometimes. But it's important for you, if you're going to go vote, to know exactly what you're voting for. And that's also why I like, Sean, you do this every single election. Just a few days before we all go to the ballot box to vote, going through the sample ballot and saying, all right, this is what you're voting on here, if you say yes or if you say no. But like you said, if you can go back and listen to the podcasts, we put each one of them up, and we try to alert you when we're talking about something new here that you'll be voting on come primary season. You can go back and listen to that, know exactly what you're voting for or against.
Of course, one of the questions is, will Alabamians get to vote on a lottery?
Mm-hmm.
And remember, too, okay, this is worth doing. When you hear the discussion, they gavel into regular session tomorrow. Okay, that happens tomorrow in Montgomery. When you hear the discussion of lottery, just like last year with lottery, once again, we're moving. They can't vote because it's a constitutional amendment. They can't vote this through. What they would do is craft a bill. Now, I've said, you know, maybe they should just write a referendum bill, let people vote on it, then try to come back and amend it. But what they will do is say, if they pass something for lottery in this session, it will be a description of, okay, a change to the Constitution of the state of Alabama, and I'm putting just Sullivanese in here, that now allows lotteries to operate in the state. Then below that, in the mice type, is going to be, okay, this is what they got hung up on last year. The money goes here or the money goes there. In other words, does it go to the education trust fund? Does it go to the general fund? Does it go to a combination therein? Does it have a clean lottery bill? In other words, it's something where you buy tickets, do maybe the scratch-off, but it's not available in video lottery form, just like we have video bingo. That was one of the issues out there, that you would offer video lottery, which is, I mean, it's laughable that we just always try to find a way to make a slot machine. I mean, that's basically what we want is slot machines, right? So we got to have a video bingo version one or a video lottery version of one. But so what they'll work all that out, and then what you would see if they pass something is a constitutional amendment to, you know, obviously change the Constitution and then trigger X, Y, and Z. It's money going here. Here's how it operates. Here's how much, you know, how much percentage of the money does this, that, and the other. So those would be the things they have to get ironed out.
Now, going into last session, the polls coming out, that showed that Alabamians at least wanted the right of referendum, right? Mm-hmm. They wanted to vote for a lottery, whether yes or no, but they weren't even able to work that out in the last session. That's because of those earmarks, I guess, or where the people wanted the money to go. They couldn't agree on that in Montgomery.
Yes, it would be, okay. That is basically what, at least, there are other hurdles, and let's talk about the Porch Bandit Creek Indians and the compact offered to the state as well. That's a whole other discussion in this, but the first hurdle is going to be where the money goes. Now, if you haven't been paying attention, here's how the system works in Alabama. We have an education trust fund, which is separate from the general fund. Education Trust Fund has more money and has the growth revenue for government, you know, the taxes that would grow over time. While the opposite is true for the general fund, and the general fund has 93% of the budget already earmarked So all the gnashing of teeth and wringing of hands you hear in Montgomery is over 7% of the budget. But a lot of that has to do with corrections, and that ties in and dovetails with the big discussion about what we're going to do to deal with this crisis with prisons in Alabama. We'll talk more about this when we get back. It's 8:45. News is next. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig, glad to have you along. Phone number, text line 343-0106, 343-0106. And a heads up, segment brought to you by my buddy Trey and the crew from 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right, we're in the second month of the year if you're checking your calendar. And if way back on New Year's Eve you said, this year, we're getting organized around the house. This year, we're getting organized around the office. This year, we're going to organize this shop. Let me tell you a pro tip here. I'm trying to get organized. When you have fewer things to get in the way, it's easier to organize. And a lot of that stuff being junk, get rid of it and do it quickly with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. It's as easy as just pointing at that item and saying that, that, and that. And that's what Trey and his team do. They get rid of the junk. And you set an appointment by going to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or just picking up the phone and calling 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And it's cool because it's not this kind of, we'll see you sometime between Tuesday and Thursday, between 8 in the morning and 6 in the evening. You'll find a time agreed upon by you and the team. And it will be on a day. It will have a real appointment because they realize you have a life and job and all that stuff. So it could be Wednesday at 2:30 or whatever it is. And you confirm that appointment. They show up. They quote your price. If you say yes, they get to work and get it done. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK. It's online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right, 850 FM Talk 106.5. And a couple things to note here. We can talk a little bit more about upcoming session and this week in Washington with the Senate hearing what should be the last few days of the Senate impeachment process. Also talk about Governor Ivey and her State of the Sling address, which, by the way, if y'all see her in a sling, it's because, as we found out last week, she tripped over the first dog, Missy, and I guess cracked her shoulder or something like that.
Yeah.
And so she's got her arm in a sling.
It's a sling, not a hard cast. You know, it'd be cool if Alabama's Congress could sign her hard cast, but she'll be in a sling instead. But we all know how dangerous those falls can be, so hopefully she gets well soon.
Yes. So that's some of the things coming up this week. But also, looking back at yesterday, too, talking about Super Bowl.
Yeah, man, it was a really good Super Bowl. Looked like the Kansas City Chiefs were dead in the water there, down 10 points with just under 7 minutes to play, and then for the third game in a row had an incredible comeback and end up winning the Super Bowl. Have maybe the best young quarterback in the entire league, Patrick Mahomes, and then the coach that seems like everyone likes a lot, Andy Reid, getting his first Super Bowl after 20 years of coaching. So a lot of people were interested in the game last night, but of course just as many, if not more people, interested in the advertising and the halftime show, and those
Shakira
and J-Lo, and a couple either Cubano or Mexican rappers. Those were I wasn't sure who the hip-hop artists were that showed up during the halftime show. I did not know of their music, but for the J-Lo and Shakira music, it seems like that would have been right at home in the 2003 Super Bowl, some of their early hits, but I'm not sure.
You're saying they were using their old songs? Well, of course you want. I mean, you want people to, like,
you got to play the hits.
Yeah,
but I'm not sure most people were paying attention to the music. I think they were watching the spectacle rather than listening to the spectacle.
So you're talking about the rappers like Bad Bunny was there?
Okay, that was Bad Bunny.
Yeah, he's Puerto Rican. He's Puerto Rican.
Now, the only reason I know him is he performed on a halftime show for Monday Night Football earlier this year, but apparently he's a massive musical performer in Puerto Rico. So I did not realize that was Bad Bunny, but I thought there was another one.
And then there's another
maybe
guy.
It was just a wardrobe change. I don't know.
There's another guy. So was there anything going on other than the pole there that J-Lo was dancing with?
No, not that I saw. And all kinds of GIFs or GIFs that people will steal from that halftime show and use for years to come. But J-Lo, 50 years old, and Shakira, 43, and they weren't acting like last
Shakira.
Night. They were not acting their age at all.
No, it was pretty impressive.
Politically, I was surprised that there were only two two presidential candidates that had ads, and there was odds. You know, they have these prop bets who would have the first ad, Trump or Bloomberg. So apparently Vegas knew that those would be the only two candidates to put out ads during the Super Bowl. They were both 60-second ads, so $10 million apiece. And Trump, his was up first, and his ad was about prison reform, actually. And it was regarding a woman that he helped pardon and, and get out of prison. He felt like it was an unjust charge that she was imprisoned on. So Trump ran with that one. And then Bloomberg, his came in the second half, and his was about gun violence. And he had a mother whose son played high school football and was killed by someone with a gun. So he went the gun violence route, and President Trump went the prison reform route. And then later in the game, maybe even after the game, the president had another ad that came up talking about the wins of his presidency. But I guess I'm a little surprised that they were the – I shouldn't be. They were the only two that had ads, the two richest of the candidates right now. But I didn't see a Biden ad, didn't see a Warren ad, no Buttigieg. And I'm wondering how much that – with Bloomberg getting ready to enter this next debate, you know, the DNC loosened the rules for amount of donors – that lets you into the debate. So Bloomberg will be in this next debate, even though he's not in any of these upcoming caucuses. He's not in the Iowa caucus. I don't think he's in the Nevada caucus. So Bloomberg could be making a run here for the Democrat candidacy.
So, I mean, you're saying he's bought his way in.
Yeah, it's exactly what he did. And, you know, a lot of Democrats are upset with this because they were trying to loosen the rules for some of the previous debates that would have allowed Booker in or Castro or Yang, and they didn't loosen any of the rules back then. Since then, we've seen a number of candidates drop out, including Booker and Castro. And then when Bloomberg starts spending all of this money, all of a sudden they decide to loosen the rules for this next debate and will allow Bloomberg out there on the stage. So it seems like a push, certainly from Bloomberg's camp, obviously, to win the candidacy, but maybe more Democrats out there trying to change the rules a little bit to allow him to at least have a fighting chance.
Well, you know, one of the angles I've heard is that when Bloomberg got in, it was a tell beyond just Bloomberg getting in, that Bloomberg was a big financier of Joe Biden's campaign. And when Bloomberg got in himself, was his vote of no confidence in the person he had been backing. Like, basically, this guy's not going to do it. I got to do it myself. We'll see. I mean, it's caucus night, and we'll see what comes out of that. And then, of course, talk about it, because there is some relevancy as you look at the caucus, Iowa caucus, and who ends up being the nominee. It's not always a direct corollary, but there is some relevancy in it. And so we'll watch how those, do you call them votes? Or, yeah, I guess caucus votes come in.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Also, as far as some of the ads last night, because it was $5 million for a 30-second spot. Remember, we were talking about Planters.
That's rate card, y'all.
We were talking about Planters killing off Mr. Peanut.
Yes.
And that was one of those campaigns that they started weeks prior to the Super Bowl. And the ad that they initially released was the Planters Peanut, Mr. Peanut, driving in his Mr. Peanut mobile with, I think, was it Wesley Snipes?
Yes.
And then an actor from the show Veep. And they go over a cliff, and they're all hanging on to a branch on the side of the cliff, and Mr. Peanut, you know, sacrifices himself to allow Snipes and the other actor to live. They actually had to change, I don't know how many spots they bought for the Super Bowl last night initially, but after Kobe Bryant and the eight others died in that helicopter crash, Planters pulled an executive decision and said, you know, we're not going to run with this campaign anymore. So they ended up only with one spot last night, and I guess it was kind of the end of the campaign where they unveiled Baby Nut, they call him. A reborn Planters Mr.
From
Peanut.
From the fire comes the phoenix.
That's right. So
Baby Nut.
Baby Nut. And one of my favorite ads was Josh Jacobs, former Alabama running back. And it was a Kia ad. And they tied it in with charity that for every yard they were going to give so much money to these children's charities. But Josh Jacobs grew up homeless with his dad. They actually lived in a car for a time. There's a documentary coming out on that, but his ad was basically him driving in this Kia and watching himself as a younger kid run around and play, and writes a letter to himself basically saying, keep your head up, this will all pay off, all the hard work. So that was really cool. And also going into the game for the coin toss, they had four veterans show up with the coin.
Yeah, Tuskegee Airmen.
A Tuskegee Airman delivered the coin to midfield for the coin toss. That was another really great moment in last night's game.
All right, we'll talk more about this coming up on Midday Mobile. And let me talk about on the lineup today, as the Amtrak vote will be in front of the Mobile City Council tomorrow. And we'll talk about that in hour number two of the show. In hour number one of the show, it's going to be interesting. Representative Brett Easterbrook's never been on the show with me before. He's a rep out of Washington County, about how little's been done from LDOT in Washington County. We'll get into that coming up at noon.